Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
To Teen Station, where we always have something to say. And of course, we would love to welcome our teen co-host, Ashley.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Star?
I'm doing well. And Miranda.
Hello.
Enjoying the wonderful DC weather?
Yes, it's been gorgeous.
How's the weather in New York?
It's getting better, but right now it's warm. It was like cloudy, so that's not always too fun.
Yeah. And of course, listeners, you know that we have a couple people missing, but this is exam time, and I know you probably are studying as we speak, but this is a good time to take a break, relax, listen to our wonderful conversation and discussion, and you might even learn something tonight, as we hope. You always learn something during our show. Christine has exams, and Kendall is doing her spring concert. So May is a month of multiple activities. I'm sure, Miranda, you have exams coming up as well.
Yeah, in 2 weeks.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely that time. And as you know, we always like to start off our show with the Teen Station headliners. There's been many things that have been going on, of course, of current events, as always. I'd first like to start off, Teen Huffington Post had an article about a protest with outside of Abercrombie & Fitch in Chicago, and the teens were protesting, of course, about basically social equality for all body types. That's when those signs read, and they're particularly responding to a quote from Jeffries, who is the CEO, Michael Jeffries, of Abercrombie & Fitch. This is what he said. We go after the cool kids. We go after the attractive, all-American kid with a great attitude and a lot of friends. A lot of people don't belong. Basically, he's talking about in our clothes. And they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely. So what do you guys think about that?
I don't feel as strongly as other people do about what he said. I don't mean that in a bad way, like I don't respect all body types or whatever, but people need to realize that it's a product, and that's how he branded it. He branded it to appeal to what he thinks are sexy, slim, all-American people, and people who don't fit into his vision for his clothes buy his clothes. And so it's up to the people, instead of protesting this man to make his brand more body conscious, they need to decide whether they want to support a man who has that ideal for his clothing. That's what I think the real issue is.
Yeah, I think he's definitely not helping himself with his brand when he caters to that very, very small percentage. I mean, he really needs to sort of wake up and realize that America isn't all size 2 popular girls. You know, it's a lot of different things together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that certainly is true. I've even noticed I guess she was a Sports Illustrated model. She wasn't like super, super thin and disproportionate like the Barbie doll. She actually had like a normal, healthy body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of shows like where we're going as far as.
Are you talking about Kate Upton?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just, that's one way that our generation is going. And also, are we at the point where teens and young adults know and are confident about themselves and about what is right and what is wrong, that these sort of statements don't bother them and they just dismiss it? I mean, because, like, when people are being truthful, when people are being truthful, like in this situation with the CEO, or even when we talked about the situation with Chick-fil-A, with the CEO stating about gay marriage and equality, they're speaking their version of the truth and their ideology, and not everyone is going to agree with their own opinion.
Yeah.
Should it turn into a scandal, or
no?
Is it a good opportunity to bring a discussion, just as this tonight that we're talking about it, and then hopefully it would bring about programs, promoting or advocating self-image and confidence for young adults?
It's comments like the one the CEO Jeffries made about who he's trying to appeal to, it opens the conversation. But I think that the issue here, like I will say again, is consumerism, in that people need to realize what they're supporting when they purchase something. I mean, if someone clearly tells you that you're not the person they want in their clothes, why are you protesting them unless you want to purchase their clothes and feel good about purchasing their clothes? Like, if someone said, oh, you know, my clothing line is not meant for black people, I wouldn't purchase their stuff. Because why am I going to give them money and they don't respect me and the way I live my life and who I am, you know? And that's how I really feel about matters like this. Like, the man has a right to say how he feels and how he conceived his brand. And I'm glad he was honest about it, because people want to hear what's appealing to them, and he just told what was his truth. And now we're able to have a conversation like this about what matters when people create clothing lines and other things that do a body image.
Yeah, I mean, there are, of course, people commenting on it, so, and saying that the prices there are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
What else? A lot of individuals, a lot of teens who I come across, basically not teens, they're preteens. They all, especially with the boys, they all wear Abercrombie.
It's like
not
a status symbol, correct?
Exactly, not really knowing what it entails. And the same thing with American Apparel, not really knowing all the things. I mean, that CEO was very controversial as well, in putting risque photos, and he got in trouble with some of the comments that he said about women and different races.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you said, Ashley, it's knowing about your product and not going into it blindly and just purchasing it based upon the trend and knowing what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So another topic that's been in the news is, there's an article in the New Yorker discussing the, of course, Boston bombing, and this is like the aftermath. Like, we have the round table, and the purpose of it is to continue it and not just drop the subject and go on to the next, making sure that we are approaching a resolution. So they, the headliners of that, of the article, talks about the brother, of course, and individuals actually feeling sorry for him. I'm not sure how I pronounce it. You guys could probably pronounce it a little bit better than I am pronouncing.
Oh, his last name?
Yes.
Sarnov.
Sarnov. Perfect. So what are your thoughts about that?
I'm one of the people who felt bad for him. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I think it's sad. He's only 19 years old, and he threw away his life. And I don't know how true it is. I wasn't there. I'm not the two brothers, but part of me feels like his older brother got in his head and convinced him to do it with him, and his brother died instantly, and he's left to pick up all the burden and all the slack of what they did. What they did was evil and malicious, but, you know, it's sad all around. Like, all the people that died is sad. It's sad that this 19-year-old kid threw away his life, you know, and that his family is losing a son in such a humiliating and horrible way. I mean, there's no redemption in this story to me.
Mm-hmm. I think I felt a lot more sorry for him at the very beginning when I thought at first that it was very clear that the older brother had had a really big hand in shaping mm-hmm. the younger brother. But the other day, I think I just heard that when he was in the boat, the younger brother was, like, writing all this stuff about how he would see his older brother in heaven and, you know, they would be heroes and stuff like that. So I don't know how I feel right now.
That's funny. He probably wrote that mess because he was surrounded by cops and guns. He thought he was going to die at that moment. So, oh, God, that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, in the article, it talked about the characteristics of the individual or the victim. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think that there is a different? I mean, do people have more empathy or sympathy with the individual because he's young, vulnerable, like they understand, the media has divulged into his story, so basically you know everything about him, as opposed to instances where it's just like a blank slate and you know this certain group or gang or whomever attacked, caused violence to the community. You don't know anything about them. Would that make the case different?
I think that when it's a gang, I watch a lot of gang documentaries in my spare time. Like, I'm obsessed with Gangland. Whoever's out there that's obsessed with Gangland, like, you already know, that show is awesome. I personally feel bad for those kids because most of the kids that enter gangs are kids who come from broken homes and who don't have any structure in their lives and don't have, most importantly, any love in their lives. And then they get wrapped up into the idea of brotherhood and people having your back and having like a family unit. So those stories are tragic too. I mean, there's more hatred towards gangs because it's constant. Like, even though the Zarnov brothers, like, they spent time to plan this attack and then attacked and killed and hurt a lot of people, it is still a one-time thing as opposed to a constant terrorization of your neighborhood. And, you know, every day someone new is dying, some other young kid is dying at the hands of a young kid. Like, you know, they're both equally wrong, but, you know, I think people feel more bad for this kid because it's like his life this is hard. I think people feel more bad for this kid because, like you said, his face is plastered on the TV and we're getting to know more about his background. But if anybody watches Gangland and they hear about how these kids get into gangs, they will feel bad for those kids too. I will say that.
For me, I felt the reason I felt the most bad for him is just because he didn't really fit that stereotype that you have for all these, like, mass murderers. You know, usually you think of them as, like, a really quiet, isolated individual who always seemed a little bit dark or kind of violent, but this guy just seemed so different. Like, he was popular, he was really social, he was going to parties, he had good friends, and it's just a little bit weird when, you know, something's totally different from what you consider the stereotype.
Yeah, it's definitely certainly an interesting point, but I agree with you guys with that. So we'll keep you tuned in and updated with the story, and I'm sure our audience is also. Again, if you ever want to call in, give us your comments on Teen Station. We have our show every evening. This is Slake Radio Rainbow Soul. At 8:30 to 9:30 every Thursday, you can call in at 914-338-0695, or we have a Twitter, Teen Station, or you can contact us on email, teenstation@gmail.com. Another interesting article that actually happened, again, in the New Yorker that was written, but discussing the title of it was Laptop U. So we're going into a generation where online education is almost the next way of individuals attaining it. And I feel like when schools such as, doesn't mean that it's right or wrong, but when schools or universities such as Harvard or MIT begin to have these online classes where you can get a degree, it becomes accepted. It's accepted faster. It's a new type of college class based on internet lectures, videos. And I guess they call it the MOOC, which they just basically have different degrees that you can attain through the web, and you have very prolific professors teaching these classes as well. Caltech also and University of Texas all plan to pledge like tens of millions of dollars to develop this idea, as well as Berkeley and Princeton. So these are, why do you think, obviously they believe that that's where we're going in the next few years or in the future. Do you think this is a smart idea? How is it going to change things for the youth and the teens' perspective? Because by the time that they become adults, like, this is going to be their way almost.
I think this is stupid. I mean, there's a difference between, like, being a working professional, and the only way you can squeeze education into your time is coming home after school and flipping open a laptop, and being a 20-year-old or an 18-year-old undergrad with time on your hands and sitting at home and learning on a computer. Like, I think this technology thing is moving too fast. It's very scary for me because it's just so isolationist. Like, why are we trying to make our kids more and more antisocial by having them learn online? You know, an online classroom is not the same as being in a classroom with other people, interacting, having study groups. You know, there's a reason why that works. I don't understand why everything needs to be digital. One day the whole internet's going to crash. We're going to lose all our history because everything's digitized. But I have personal feelings about that, so don't like it.
I think it's definitely less effective than classroom learning, but for certain people who maybe can't afford to go to college, or they don't have time to go to college, they really need to help out maybe with their family, I think it can be helpful. But it's
that's the only benefit to it, really, is that those circumstances, I agree.
But if you can go to a normal college, I think that's the better choice.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what route they're going to take as far as tuition cost-wise. I mean, obviously colleges are getting more and more expensive, and that's the main reason why people are going to maybe community college or maybe trade school. But is this route going to be just as expensive? Or
eventually, it will be, because when universities are realizing more people are enrolling in online classes to save money, they're going to spike up prices because people need to get paid. At the end of the day, universities need to get paid and people need to get paid. And it's also based on enrollment. Like, how are the numbers going to change when people are like, oh, you know, we have 800 on-campus students and 10,000 online students. Like, how is that going to work? I don't get it.
Actually, you hit it right on the dot. That's what they aim to have, the amount of kids for the online, tens of thousands of students.
Oh, my goodness.
But I also wanted to clarify with the acronym MOOC stands for Harvard's First Massive Open Online Courses, so MOOC.
That's so dumb.
So I guess this name is sort of caught on to the other schools, and like there was a professor from Princeton, I believe, saying that, the president of Stanford said, quote, "I expect that there will be lots of free or nearly free offerings available." Hopefully they'll stick their guns and keep it that way.
I mean, these people are going to have to tread carefully. Sorry.
What'd you say?
I said, in implementing this new way of learning, these universities have to tread carefully because it could go wrong. I know a lot of people in my school, we have some courses that are 50% online, and most of the kids who take those classes, especially when they're in science and math, they fail them because they are so jumbled up in their actual in-person classes that they honestly forget to sign in and go to their online class. And, you know, there's a lot more self-management. It really shifts the way people think. Like, we're used to having a teacher telling us what to do in a way, and mm-hmm. now you have to rely on yourself to remember to log on your computer and to do this online assignment, and it's just, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And, I mean, my sister had this conversation with some of her friends, and there's also an individual who's 18, so younger, in the room as well, and asking, like, how do you guys do your research? How do you guys, speaking of job hunt, which we're going to be talking about for this evening, but how do you guys go about finding jobs? And I think they just go straight. I mean, I don't know if you do this, Miranda, or if that's, you do a mix of both, but going straight to Google and only going to Google versus my time just going to Google, researching, then finding different sources and researching that, then also maybe seeing those specific sources if they have books out and trying to compare and contrast different information, getting a little bit more involved. So what do you think? I mean, is that the way that we're going, just going straight to Google and looking it up?
Yes, most definitely. Like, think about it. Whenever you're like, oh, my God, I can't remember the name of this song, or I can't remember the name of that actor, or what movie did this person come in, you go straight to Google now. You don't even try to rack your brain or to remember. You just go straight to Google.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's somewhere we're heading or if it's somewhere that we already are. I mean, I know at my school, whenever a teacher assigns us an essay where we actually have to have a book cited as a source, everybody groans, and it's a big burden on everyone.
Not a book. It's too
heavy.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
isn't college all about making connections? Like, how are you supposed to meet people and make connections in your industry or your field, or have, like, doctor friends that you went to pre-med with if you learn from home? I don't get it. That can't just be all you do. No. I'm a social person, so these concepts of isolationist education just irks me.
Yeah. Huh. It's definitely going to breed different types of individuals, which may shape how the future will be. And then, of course, for our sports enthusiasts out there, another topic is the playoffs in the NBA. Currently, right now, we have the Knicks playing Boston, and then the San Antonio Spurs. They beat the Lakers, of course. And the Eastern Conference right now is we have the Knicks and the Boston Celtics. So it's very interesting for those basketball fans, and now is the time for a lot of closings. Basketball, baseball's in the middle of their season. Tiger Woods is back in the swing of things. He won.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, exactly. And we have, what other sports do we have going on? NFL, they're going to have their preseason, which is always fun to watch. I've not gone to a practice game in the summer, but I've heard that is a lot of fun. But, yeah, good things for sports. So, to our topic, jobs.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. I was waiting for that. Nice call.
Thank you.
That's exactly what people think, or especially teens, when they have to go through a job hunt. I recently just had my cousin go through the whole job hunt, who just finished his freshman year in college. And so going into it, if you don't have the proper training or an older sibling telling you about things, what to do, what not to do, you sort of...
Well, if you're that older sibling who has to be the first one to go out and do it.
Exactly. Oh. You sort of have these ideas, get probably coming from school, other friends, which not really a capable resource, or TV, and just mixing it all together and thinking your own thoughts. It's definitely best to research and really find out what's the truth. So we'll start off with Ashley and then go on to Miranda. You can talk about your current experience. What was your experience with your first job, and how did you go through that process of getting it?
Oh, Lord. Okay, so getting your first job is a really, really strange experience, I will say, but it could be scary, but I'll just use mine as an example. I was trying to find my first job since I was like 15, right? I didn't get my first job until I was 17. So, I mean, technically, when you're 15, it's much harder to find a job. So that's why it took me so long. But the most nerve-wracking thing about finding a job for me was actually going into a store, like either a supermarket or a clothing store or a creamery or whatever. The weirdest part is going in and saying, "Are you hiring?" You would think that that's so simple, but it's really intimidating and scary when all these people are looking at you and you're asking for a job or if there's a job available. It's just, oh, that's the part that I dreaded the most, going into a place and asking. That's why I usually, if you're afraid of going in and asking for a manager, you could always call the shop first, like get the number of the store you want to go to, and then like call and ask the manager if they're hiring. And then you could come in. You don't have to ask. You already have a meeting with the manager, and it's like it's a lot more calming. And then I eventually found my first job at a supermarket, and I had to hound that manager. I was so persistent because I was so tired of hearing no. I went into that supermarket every week, saying, "Hello, you remember me? Hi, yeah. So are you hiring yet?" Like, it was crazy, but I finally got that job, and I worked there for 2 years. And, getting the job was really, really hard, but the job itself was pretty simple. And it's all about persistence. Like, if you, whatever you want, you will get. And managers do notice people who are persistent in going after a job. You have to realize that as a teenager, the thing that managers care most about is reliability. So you have to make sure that you convey very well that you're a reliable person, because teenagers aren't known for being reliable. So I worked there for 2 years, and I did all the boop, boop, boop scanning and codes, putting in the machine and bagging and all that good cashier stuff. And the hardest part about your first job is that it'll probably be minimum wage unless you get it through a family friend or, you know, somebody who has, like, a nice little position waiting for a relative in an office. And you have to deal with people, and people are the worst, and they don't care if you're a minor. They'll be mean. So that's the hardest part about working your first minimum wage job.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true before Miranda gets into her experience. Like you said, teens are known to be maybe not as reliable as one may think or responsible, knowing what your own personal strengths are. If you're not known to be reliable or don't really handle responsibility well, don't apply for a job or don't go into a job that requires lots of responsibility and being capable of doing big tasks. So understanding yourself, like what you can do best. If you are great with kids, then apply for jobs that are summer camps. Find places where you can excel the best, and that's how you're going to be able to rise up within that certain field the fastest.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that you can ask yourself, are you flexible? Are you organized? What other characteristics can you describe someone to find a certain job?
You have to figure out if flexibility is a huge one, actually, because when you work your first job, you're going to be in school and your employer is still going to expect you to do what you need to do. So you need to be able to put aside time to do your job. So it's a big one. You also have to be able to determine if you have a strong enough character to deal with customers. If you are in a customer service related job, if you don't think that you have the strength to deal with customers, you think you're better with one-on-one interactions, and try a tutor or a babysitter if you like kids and you don't like too many people. You also have to realize whether you're friendly, if you're sociable, if you're antisocial, if you're nerdy. If you know a skill...
What if you think you're really cool and you're nerdy?
What if you think that you're cool, then more power to you, because a lot of young people don't think that they're cool. So good for you. But if you have a skill, like if you are good with computers, you can totally skip the whole process of looking for a job and just, you know, go and start advertising your services to friends and their families and say, hey, I'm good at fixing computers. Or you could go to Best Buy and, you know, just know where your strengths, like Star said, where your strengths lie. Like me, I was just like, I need money. So that's where I went. And I knew I was friendly and I was sociable and I had a pretty strong character, so I could deal with, you know, evil people at the supermarket.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Miranda, what is now, especially we're approaching the end of the school year, right, is there any talk about finding jobs? What am I going to do for the summer? And do you notice a different type of talk between the end of this school year versus last school year when you guys were freshmen?
There's definitely a pretty big difference. I think now we're getting to the age where people are actually going to start to trust us with stuff. But I know a few people who are getting jobs this summer. Some of them are just being like camp counselors, which I think is more of an easy one to get into because they're specifically looking for people around teenage age. And I also know some people who have family friends who help them get into jobs. Like I know one girl who's been going to this one deli for like her family's whole life, and she got a job at there like a couple years ago because their family knows the owners really well. So, yeah.
That is a help. It's a blessing when you have family friends. It's so much harder when you're not connected.
Yeah, that definitely is true. So what would both of your response would be when I say the statement, presentation is everything? What does that mean?
It's true. I remember when I was, when I almost got my first job, and that was at Applebee's as a hostess, and I was 17, and I impressed the manager because I was 17 and I already had a resume. And he was just so mind-blown that a 17-year-old took the time to compile a resume. And those things really do matter because when you're applying, what we have to realize in this day and age, especially as young people, is that older people, no offense, Star, but with the economy, they're applying back for jobs that they never thought they'd have to apply for at their age. And now you're competing with people who not only know more things, but have more experience selling themselves. And you as a young person, you're still trying to find yourself, and you have no idea how to sell yourself for a job. Like, someone asks you, why would you be a good cashier? And you're like, I'm fast. You know, like, that's not enough. So it's important to know how to sell yourself. So presentation is everything. Don't go to a job interview, or even when you're just inquiring about a job, don't go in with, you know, dirty clothes. Or you would think no one walks around with dirty clothes, but you never know, you might have a stain on your shirt you're not aware of, you know, things like that. Just be conscious of how you look. Try to have your hair together. Wear something that's, you know, a little bit more dressed up, and make sure that you put your best foot forward.
Karen, yeah, I definitely would agree. And what you just mentioned when you had, I mean, I was going to ask just that question when you said you had a resume and you basically shocked the manager, and it just put you heads over heels over other individuals that you were going to compete against, and possibly even older individuals. And so what would your answer be if someone were to say, like, what is, I have some questions here given to me by other teams. What is the point of a cover letter? Like, should I even do it? What is the point of a resume?
It depends. Do you have the same question, Miranda? Do you wonder about resumes and cover letters?
Yeah.
Okay, so cover letters, I hate them. I try to avoid them at all costs, I'm not going to lie. At the 15 to 17, 18 level, if you're applying for a very basic, you know, customer service-y, babysitter-y job, that's not needed. Cover letters are very specific. They're very geared towards a specific type of job. So please make sure you know if a job requires a cover letter before, because they're a lot more personal than a resume. It's basically your defense of your resume, in my opinion, a cover letter. A resume, though, is important because it's good to have on hand. If someone is, you know, if someone seems that they'd be open to your resume, give it to them. And if not, and you don't think you need it, don't give it to them, but always have it on you. A resume for that age group, for high school and graduating high school, should just have your name, your number, and email. You should have an email by the time you're 16, in my opinion. And not just like babykisses05 email, like your name, your first and last name, the most of it, as much as you can fit if it's free. If it's not, try to make it sound professional. And
we actually have a caller in.
Yay!
You see? And this is Christine. Hello?
Oh, no. It's Tassine.
Oh, Tassine! Hi!
Hi, guys.
So
hi,
funny.
Caller. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing great. All right, continue, Ashley.
We were just talking about the importance of a resume to scene. Okay. So you should have, like, your name on it, your number that you could be reached at, and an email, and like I said, a professional one, not like babykisses05. And it should have, like, a basic description, like high school junior, high school senior, high school sophomore, you know, looking for a job to, you know, improve skills or to learn about this, you know, whatever, to learn about customer service, whatever, what have you. So a little objective, it could be one sentence, and then try to pull experiences that you've done in school. Don't think that you don't have experience, you know. If you're part of a club, like track team, is disciplined, meets with the team weekly, coach is one of the coaches, you know, most relied upon students. Those are key things that an employer will look at and be like, she doesn't have work experience, but she knows what it's like to be a reliable young woman or man, you know? So that, don't think that you don't have experience. And if you have any awards, like, you know, put at the bottom, you know, track meet 2013, you know, first place, you know, put your awards down there. Let people know that you're an accomplished person outside of your professional life. And that's, it could be simple. It shouldn't be more than a page, and that is important. It is.
Does experience mean I had jobs before, or can
if you had a job, please put it. If you had a job before, please put it down. I mean, that lets employers know.
Mm-hmm. Can experience also mean, what if you volunteered?
Of course.
Can that be experience as well?
And I say, especially as a teenager, because we don't have a lot of professional experience at that point, anything that you've done, please put it down. Like, if you've been a volunteer, even if it was one time, you better elaborate on that one time, for real. Like, or if you are part of a club, put that down. If you, even if you help out, like, if your mom is religious and she goes to church every Sunday and you help out with the church, put that down. Anything that you do that demonstrates you're responsible, that you're a helpful human being, that you're a person who is active, put that down. I mean, there's no reason why your resume should be like, oh, goes to school, comes home, period. That's not what your resume is for.
Definitely true. This is all so very helpful. Tashin, tell us about your first job experience, and was it a stressful process to get to?
See, before my first job, obviously, I never did anything before that, so it was really hard to get my first job. So one day I was walking down Forest Hills, and
Ashley
saw me working one day. It was one of the worst jobs I've ever had in my life.
But she looked great down. That day, though. She looked wonderful that day. It was her birthday.
I'm a crazy person. So I was walking down the street, and I saw, like, a sign, a board, and it said, oh, hiring for a flyer girl. And I was like, I don't really know what a flyer girl is, but you know what? I need a job. So I walked in, and I was like, can I have a job? And they said, yeah, how old are you? And they asked, like, general questions, and then they said, okay, start, come tomorrow. It was really easy because it wasn't a very, like, professional job. I didn't know what to expect. So the next day I come in early. He hands me a bunch of flyers and told me to go stand outside in the corner and hand out flyers. I was just like, what? I thought, like, because it's like it was called Cheeburger Cheeburger, so I thought, you know, after, like, a few days of standing outside flyering, I would be able to come inside and work as a waitress. But he's like, oh, you're going to college, so I don't want to hire you. And I was like, okay. And I need a job, and it was my first job, so I went outside. I made friends with the other lady who was handing out flyers, too. She's like, oh, stand in the shade. She didn't really speak English that well, but she's like, stand in the shade. And I was like, okay, thank you. And I think I really hated it, but I tried to make, like, the best of my first job. I stood out there saying to people hated me because no one likes to have papers being shoved in their face. So one girl, I think it was like 3 hours later and it was really hot and I got really like dazed out and I guess I was staring at her and I like looked her down and I like had like a flyer in my hand and then she like takes it and walks past me, turns around, taps me on the shoulder and says, next time don't stare at me like that. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm so sorry.
What a confrontational jerk.
The people there were so mean. It was not a fun job. But another job, the next job I got was at a law firm. But one thing that's really important, I think, about jobs is to make connections. Wherever you go, whatever job you go to, make sure you make connections. Because while I was standing out there handing out flyers, people were like, wow, you're really great at this job. And I was like, thank you. He's like, you should totally work for me. And then they, like, gave me cards and stuff. I never took those jobs, but it was
something
could have
happened.
Stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's important that you put yourself out there and you take initiative and you take, like, the opportunities that come by you. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, another thing that I see that sort of a trend throughout your stories is you going through those first jobs or those experiences, you guys got to see what you don't like. And I think that when you are a teen or just graduating from high school or still within high school, those 4 years especially are times when you really want to put yourself out there to try to decide what you don't like. That's the first step because if you think about the whole picture, like, what am I going to be when I grow up? What should I major in? What school? It's too overwhelming, so you need to start from the beginning. What don't I like? So then you can work yourself into finding, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, so I'll try this because I may like it. But it's easiest to find and understand what you don't like so you can start to cross off that list.
Bottom up.
Miranda, what volunteer things have you done throughout your high school career?
I've volunteered at, there's a place near my house, which is, it's not quite a homeless shelter, but it's more like you prepare meals and stuff, and then you walk out on the street, and you sort of pass out meals to homeless people. I really enjoyed that. It's nice because you're kind of giving them a meal instead of giving them money, which a lot of people, you know, they're homeless because they have addiction problems and stuff.
Right.
So
yeah,
they take, use it for alcohol or stuff. So I really like that, and I met some really nice people. It was great.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, that's perfect. It's great ways to volunteer, exactly what Miranda did. And if you've done that, put that on your resume to show that you're, I mean, you have to have responsibility to give out the food, and you have that friendliness because you have to be able to connect to the people. You can't just look down and serve them food. You have to want to be there. So, all right, next topic, internships. So many people, the first question, especially amongst most teens, am I going to get paid for this?
Ooh,
what
can I take that?
Yes. What would you say for internship if you do not get paid? Take it away.
Internships. The most competitive time for an internship is the summer. If you're lucky enough to land a summer internship, make sure you work. Most internships are 2 to 3 days a week. So if it's the summer, try to get a little part-time job that's 3 days a week. And then, like, let's say you work Monday, Wednesday, Friday for your internship, and then Tuesday, Thursday for your part-time job. 5 days a week, just like school, you still have your weekends, and you're making money, and you're interning at the same time. And it'll be a great way before college to teach you how to juggle a lot on your plate at once. And it'll be a good thing. But internships typically are not paid, and paid internships go to people who have, are priority to people with more experience. I got my first paid internship just this year, but my first internship was unpaid, and you need to realize that the experience and connections that you get are worth the fact that you're not making money. It's a hard fact to ignore if you're lower income. But check with your school to see if they have any programs to supplement your income if you're interning. I know my school, I go to Brooklyn College. It's a CUNY school, and they have a stipend program of up to $5,000 per semester for kids who are taking on unpaid or low-paying internships. So there are opportunities. Also, try to find a scholarship. Try to find a cash scholarship if you're going to take on an internship, so that way you have money in your pocket while you're interning. And that's the best advice I can give, but most internships are not paid. It's something that's slowly getting fixed. Like, the conversation's coming up more and more in circuits that do internships, and more companies are starting to dole out a little bit of cash for, or stipends, but it's largely an unpaid market.
Yeah, internships, I mean, a lot of people, especially now, it's very hard to find a job, and so as many experiences that you can get, it's almost priceless.
Yeah.
And how can you, or anyone, how would you be able to connect that experience with an internship to possibly creating a foundation for your career in the future?
Ooh, that's a good question. Justine, do you have any thoughts on this?
I think, something that I said before, is to make connections with the people that are there. Try to make an impression on them. Try to leave an impression on them. And try to get an internship the next summer or the next time you're there so that they know you. And if you ever want to come in for a job, they'll be like, oh, I know this person. I know their work ethic. I know that they've done a great job, so I put preference over them. So I think it's definitely important to when you're there can make a really good impression so that against the competing interns that are already there, you look the best. Something that I feel like, I don't know, I've never seen Ashley work, but I feel like that's something that Ashley does. She can make really good connections, and she is so persistent in what she does.
Oh, God.
That's an amazing characteristic. I don't know. I see your stuff on Facebook. I was like, wow.
Thank you, boo.
That's our new team on Team Station, and so are you guys all. You're great. We have great websites for our listeners to go to find these jobs. Some you may heard of, Craigslist, of course, Monster.
Ooh, Craigslist star? Ooh.
There's things that, like for babysitting-wise. Or
yeah.
Also, if you're, it all depends, that's why I'm listing all these. It depends on what you want. So it's important to look at all of these to see what's out there. So Craigslist, I would go for babysitting, or if you are wanting to be a tennis teacher, a guitar instructor, things such as that. But it's also important to make sure you screen and just really be smart about the people who are contacting you. And Craigslist
yeah.
is good that they don't give it's a blind copy to the individual, so they don't have your email until you see that message and you have that connection, and then you can allow them to get your information. But firsthand, they don't have your information. So when you read it, if it says, I was going to teach at tennis, and I received a message, and it said, oh, I would like to have my nephew get lessons from you. I would like to have him play tennis 3 hours every day for the entire summer. I will give you one sum on a check. Just send me your credit card information or your routing number. So right then and there, if you see any of that information, and they went on to say, like, I'll be traveling outside the U.S., so I won't be able to be there with my nephew. So when they have those vague things and anything regarding outside the U.S., it is most likely a scam.
Yeah.
So make sure that you are basically have everything with caution. When you go to these sites like Career Builder or Yelp, Facebook also has groups that you can go to. There's this other website called Simply Hired for those hiring for seasonal jobs. There's a website called Cool Works, which are for individuals who like jobs like at amusement parks, camps, state parks, outdoorsy things. You can go to coolworks.com. Or there's also another website called snagajob.com. which talks about real-life personal experiences, what we're talking about right now, on different young individuals, and it gives sort of a one-on-one course on how to write a resume, cover letter, all those great things. But definitely, when you go to these sites, each site requires just a minimal amount of information, your name, your email. But if they ask for anything more that's pretty confidential, make sure you stop right then and there and don't continue with it. If they start asking for your Social Security and it's not even, they haven't even had your job yet, then just stay away from that.
There are also some other jobs, job sites if you don't want to have a profile. There's Indeed.com, which I use all the time, and you simply type in like your area code and the type of job you're looking for, whether it's cashier or administrative assistant, and it comes up with all the listings depending on the mile radius. If you could do 5 miles, if you drive, you could do 10 miles. And you don't have to be a member, and the information is usually available for everybody. You can call or email the places. And my friend, when I recommended that site to her, she got her flight attendant job from there. So it isn't a creepy site. Like, I've used it. I've interviewed at places that I've gotten through Indeed.com. If you're in media, I'm a broadcast journalist.
Can you spell it for the listeners, please?
Indeed, IndeedIndeed.com. If you are in journalism, magazine journalism, or newspaper journalism, to be exact, to some extent multimedia journalism as well, there is ed2010.com, ed2010.com, and there are a lot of magazine internships and other things like that posted. If you don't have any experience, I recommend going for a smaller company you haven't heard of and getting the experience there. And then they're usually more responsive to people who have less experience. You're not going to get an internship at Cosmopolitan if you have never worked in a magazine before. But you can get a startup, and you can start off there. So Ed2010 is also a good resource. And there's also internships.com. Which sounds like, oh, it's too good to be true because of the name, but it's legit. So those are places, too.
Great. And, Shane, do you have any websites that you've gone to look for a job?
I was going to say internships.com. They have so many options. But
yeah.
I just looked up Ed2010. This is actually really cool. There's
I got an internship from there.
No way. Which one?
For this, small... community building website. It's a startup.
This is amazing. They have social media editor, Bauer Team Network, Hollywoodite, Money Magazine, Harper's Bazaar, Weight Watchers, Forbes, so
yeah.
Style. So there's a lot of cool things on this website. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When my professors told me that to go directly to the newspaper links, if you're in journalism, to go to the newspaper links and then look for their contact information and then email them your resume. But it's really hard to get a job like that because there's so many applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think starting small is pretty good.
Just
have a provocative subject line. Have an awesome subject line that pulls them in.
What's a good example?
Okay, if you're trying to pitch a story that you want to write for a magazine, or a newspaper, you have to make sure it's an angle that newspapers don't usually come from, but is newsworthy. So let's say you're talking about, I don't know, let's say what it's like to be Bengali in New York, because I can't think of anything to see. Then you can come up with a really provocative title, how a New York Bengali's reaction to the factory fall in Bangladesh. That would, I would open that, because I would be all these, commentators are chiming in on something, but they don't have the connection to that place like an actual Bengali person does. You know what I'm saying? So if I was an editor, I would open that. So.
That's actually really clever. But then I'm going to be handing in my resume, so how would
Of course you're going to attach your resume to that file, girl.
Oh, so I should write something and then attach my resume?
Yes, right? Because, you can't just send your resume. A lot of people make
them... Cover letter, we discussed.
Yes, a cover letter. And also, a big mistake a lot of people make is that they don't save their resume as a PDF file. They send their resume as a Word document that's editable. And a lot of professors, I remember when I was at my internship, one of the heads of production was like, why do people keep sending me a Word document as a resume? And you don't get to hear that when you send this to people. Always make sure your resume is not something that can be edited. Make sure it's finite. So that's another thing.
That's very intense. Miranda, have you heard any myths about jobs?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
Do you have any? What thing have you heard that you weren't sure that it's true or untrue?
Yeah, I don't know.
Has anyone heard any myths that they would like to?
Oh yes, you'll be there until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's true for some places, but, again, you control where you work. If you can't stay out until 1 in the morning, don't apply for a place like that. Don't apply to Walmart because they're 24 hours a day.
So if you can't work the graveyard shift, and that's all they have, sayonara. Remember, your safety and your peace of mind is way more important than any job. If a job is asking you to stay at a time that, because they will ask you to stay until 3 in the morning, they don't care if you're 15, then don't do it. It's not worth it.
That's certainly valuable. And also, this sounds cheesy, but you don't want to really go into every job just because of the money. You want to make sure that you actually care about it, because you work, just like what you said, Ashley, many hours of the day to the evening. There has to be a purpose for you to do that, whether it's like, I have a goal to get a car, or I have a goal to reach to be the CEO, and hopefully this will be an experience of this, just different outside goals other than money, because just because you get a bigger paycheck, you're going to still make more money and still spend just as much. So that can't be your reasoning.
That's so true. Money, you'll learn fast. Money is not everything. You still got to face all your coworkers every day, and the job is so much harder if you don't like those people. Ooh.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Well, this has been such an informative, as always, evening on the dun-dun-dun. Ashley?
Jobs.
Yeah, and it's definitely something scary within high school. Scary for even grown adults, too, going into the job market. And so I hope that this has helped ease some of that stress or that pain that you're about to go into. And also enjoy your summer, enjoy your friends, and make sure you find a balance. We'll go around and have any closing words, either something that you learned, something that you want to say as a tip, or just best way to contact you, or all three.
I think that my word of advice to all the people looking for a job for the first time, don't be desperate. Desperation can really make you not think and pick a job that will not be the best for you, whether it's safety or just your psychological state. Like, talk to your parents before you look for a job. If they're in a financial state where they kind of need your help, then that's different. But if they're like, you have a roof over your head, you're always going to have food, we give you an allowance, you don't need a job, like, take your time and be selective and make sure you pick a job that you think will be beneficial to you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of forget that.
All right, Christine, we can't really hear you, sorry.
Sorry?
We can't really hear you.
Oh, okay, sorry. I think sometimes people forget that, and they kind of rush into it and thrust themselves into a situation that they're very uncomfortable with. So I think it's very important. I also agree with Ashley to take your time and be selective so that you can, because it's kind of like getting married. If you rush into it, you're going to realize, wow, this is awful. And then you're going to want to come out of it. And then you're not going to want to do it again. So it's definitely good to take your time, be slow. And remember to absorb everything around you when you're doing the internship, because in the end, it'll help you benefit from, like, it'll benefit you when you're actually working at a job.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn anything, Miranda?
Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff, and like all the little details that I wouldn't have thought of, like, you know, putting your resume on a PDF.
Okay, yeah. I kind of didn't even think of that.
Yeah. My boyfriend taught me that. I didn't know that at first either.
It's so unprofessional to send in a Word document. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so now you're going to look mad snazzy.
Exactly. And we'll end it off on that, looking mad snazzy. Thank you so much.
Internship.
Exactly. Thank you so much for listening to Teen Station. Where can we find you all?
You can find me on Twitter at Thy Name Is Ashley, THYNAMEASHLEY.
Anyone else?
I'm Tassine. You can find me at Tassine Machine on Twitter. TassineMachine.
Exactly. And you can also go on our Twitter. I don't know why I just said it like that. Our Twitter station. And also look at Miranda. Do you want to say something about your Teens for Tibet?
Yeah, I've been working on a project called Teens for Tibet, and basically it's raising awareness among teenagers in my school and also the area about human rights in Tibet and also in China. So that's at www.teensfortibet.org.
That's amazing, Miranda.
Yeah, you guys are doing amazing things, and we hope that teens who are listening call us. We want to connect. That's the main part of it, is being able to connect and have a conversation and expanding, and hopefully we can bring about change. And definitely stay tuned. We have great things for the next few weeks in store. I'm going to talk about graduation and all the anxiety that comes about that. We're going to have wonderful hosts, and an artist, a singer, and who also is really into advocates for, or exposing, talking about teen trafficking, which is definitely an intense topic. So we have many great guests, many great conversations, and Teen Station, it's where you can engage in the perspective of all, the opinion of many. This is our untapped truth. So what do you guys all have to say? Have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 Kill your